Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter when you get there. It's free. Everything is free on the site except my books. If you want to buy a book, if you want one of my books, you got to pay for that, because those cost me money, too. The other stuff costs money, too, but we want to give it to you so you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including giving to you for free. Just because we're such gracious, wonderful people around here, the incredible wisdom and the outstanding perspectives of Michael Hepworth. Michael is a revenue growth strategist. He's a partner with the Results Exchange, and he's a member of our Brain Trust, which I know he's very excited about. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure, and I understand that winter has arrived in Toronto.
Well, it certainly looks like it's coming.
You got a little snow up there, huh?
A little bit. It's not on the ground anymore. It's gone. But we had, last week, we had about an inch of snow, I guess.
A little bit of flurries, huh? Let's talk about customers.
Mm-hmm.
This concept of the customer is a wonderful, the word customer, smart people could discuss customers forever and ever and never have a different and always have a different topic. I mean, it's a broad term, but one of the problems that small businesses get into is not being able to identify who their customers are.
Absolutely. And in fact, it goes further than that, Jim. I think one of the biggest mistakes that most small business owners make is that they go after anybody who could possibly give them money instead of focusing on what I call ideal customers.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, if you hear a small business owner saying, I don't have enough leads, I'm not getting enough referrals, I don't have enough business, I'm not closing enough, it's possibly because they are not focused on this group of customers that I call ideal customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of thing that you hear from people is, we sell a bit of everything to anybody, everyone's a customer. And what I think any small business has is there's a natural audience. If you look at your customer base, you'll find that there are people in there that you naturally serve better than others. But it takes a little bit of analysis to figure out who these people are. But the problem with most small businesses is that they're scared to specialize because of what they're going to have to give up. So if I serve these customers and not those customers, then I'm not getting the revenue from the people that I'm giving up. But the interesting thing is that the moment you start focusing on a segment, the kind of customers you're looking for show up. And so you actually don't lose any revenue.
Right.
And
right.
The other thing is that people want to deal with specialists. So they're much more, people are more drawn to an organization that is very clear about who its customers are. And it helps you with uniqueness. And I think we spoke about uniqueness last time we were together.
Right. Well, one of the things that small businesses do is they look at the human beings walking around them, driving by them. They look at the phone book and imagine all those people are customers. And I think it's important that we define what a customer is. I have a very simple definition, Michael. A customer is someone who gives you money for the stuff that you sell.
Absolutely.
So what when you look at someone, you have to ask yourself this question: is that person likely to give me money for the stuff that I sell?
You see, I think this is really an interesting thing that you bring up here, Jim, because I think there are four qualities of an ideal client, and three of them are going to be completely familiar to you. One is they want your product. Two is they can afford your product. And three is they have the authority to buy your product. And in a consumer environment, the last one is probably not that important because if it's a small amount of money. But in a business environment, that's very, very critical. But what most people forget is the fourth one, which is the most important, and that is that they've bought your product or similar products before. People often go looking for things that for people that haven't bought before, thinking mm-hmm. that they're a target market. And this is one of the problems with the Internet, because very often if we drive people to our websites, we're getting completely unqualified people, so we can get lots of traffic, but it doesn't necessarily convert into business. So the best person to sell to is somebody who's already buying that kind of service, because you simply have to convert them to the fact that your service is better than somebody else's, or your product is better than somebody else's, but they're a ready-made target audience. And so the question for small businesses is, where do I find people who have already bought before? And that I think, is the challenge. But there's another problem that small businesses get into, and that is that by trying to serve the market, whatever the market is, let's say that you sell to small businesses. I don't know what the exact number is, but there's probably 20 or 30 million small businesses in the U.S. Well, I don't know many business owners who can afford to market to a market of 20 or 30 mm-hmm. million people.
Nope.
Your budget just doesn't. Let's say you're spending $10,000 a month. Well, you know, that's less than a third of a cent per client per prospect. So if you
never mind the fact, Michael, that if you contacted all those people, you couldn't serve all of them if they all came to see you.
No, you absolutely couldn't.
But you'd implode.
Even if you had that, and that's a high class kind of problem to have.
Yeah, but you would implode.
The problem is that they won't, because you can't make any impact on them. And so the idea is that you need to focus on a segment within that segment. So let's say that you are interested in small businesses as a client. What kind of small businesses are you interested in? Are you interested in small businesses in Alabama? Are you interested in small businesses that have less than 5 people, more than 10 people, whatever it is? Or you're interested in small businesses that are manufacturers? You begin to narrow it down, and you get this kind of information by looking at your client base and saying, well, where does 70 or 80% of my business come from? Who are the most profitable people? You know, who are the easiest to serve? And then the question is, where do I find more of those people?
Mm-hmm. One of my mentors many years ago, 30 years ago at least, helped me with this. He said, Jim, there are three kind of people. They're customers, and I just gave you the definition of customers. Mm-hmm. They're prospects, and these are people who you have qualified to believe the things that you said a minute ago, Michael, that they're the four things that you said, qualified, can afford it, have the authority, et cetera. That's a prospect. You've qualified them for yourself.
Absolutely.
And the other group are the suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And when he told me about the concept of a suspect, my prospecting world changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realized that I was calling some people prospects that were really just suspects. And I don't think I have to define suspect.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty intuitive, isn't
well,
it?
The more time we can spend with people who are qualified, the more business
yeah,
we're going to get.
Exactly.
And quit
dancing around with the suspects, folks. They can become prospects, but they have to be prospects before they can be customers. Quick break, 20 after. We're going to be right back. We got more good stuff to come with our good friend Michael Hepworth. He's with the Results Exchange. 20 after. Here's Jimi Hendrix to take us out.
As I was walking down the street one day.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Michael Hepworth. He's with the Results Exchange. He's a revenue growth strategist there. He helps people when they enter the marketplace. He helps them come back with the most opportunity possible. And Michael, tell us a little bit about the Results Exchange and how we can contact you guys.
Well, thanks, Jim. The Results Exchange specializes in helping people, as you say, grow new sources of revenue and leads. And you can reach me at michael.hepworth, that's H-E-P-W-O-R-T-H, at results-exchange.com or -exchange.com. And my telephone number is 416-204-0352.
And folks, as you know, if you miss any of that, you can go back to the website and hear Michael's interview with me to your little heart's content, several different places on the website. Just check it out when you get a chance. Michael, and thanks for that, by the way. But the website is results-exchange.com.
Yep, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, good. Michael, I think small business owners should sort of think of themselves as a teenage boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a teenage boy goes to the mall, and what's he looking for? You know, he's looking to meet teenage girls, right? And I mean, that's at least that's the way it was. Of course, they didn't have malls when I was a teenager, but
the same way, Jim.
But never mind that. but he's looking for teenage girls. So he looks out across the food court, and there are all these people. Now, there's, you know, grandma and grandpa, there's a middle-aged couple, there's some little children running around. He doesn't even see those people. Those people don't even exist to him. Mm-hmm. All he sees are people who fit a certain profile, right?
Correct.
Don't small business owners need to look at the world more like through the eyes of a teenage boy?
I think that's absolutely right. And I think the problem, though, is that we... You know, when we're starting out a business, we take business from any source that we can get. And it leads me to a theory that I have that I call monkey trap marketing. And if you'll forgive me, I'll just take you back to my youth in Africa. When I was growing up in Africa, monkeys were considered a food source. And monkeys are pretty hard to catch and kill. So the Africans developed a very interesting trap, which was really a gourd with a small hole in the top, which was strapped down, and they would put some peanuts on the inside. So the monkey would put his hand inside, and he'd grab the peanuts, and as he had a fist, he couldn't pull his hand back out through the hole. And then the Africans were able to rush up and club the monkey to death.
Because no way he's turning loose of the peanuts.
That's right. And I think a lot of marketers are like that. They get one or two customers that they shouldn't really be focusing on, but they're too scared to give them up in order to go after the ones that they are best able to service.
Right.
And as a result, their business never really takes off. And even though they can see that, they're often too scared to let go. And that's the key thing, I think, for all small businesses, is figuring out what business have you got to let go of. It doesn't mean to say that you should be driving people away from your business.
Right.
It's that you need to specialize in a particular area. So one of the examples I always use is McDonald's. McDonald's target audience is families with small children. But you don't have somebody at the front door of McDonald's checking people off and saying, okay, you've got small kids, you can come in. No, you don't have small kids, you can't come in. You go in there knowing that that's, you know, it's going to be noisy, that the
right.
food is the way it is, but you go in there because of what you want. The problem with most small businesses is that they don't focus. They're not clear about who their target audience is, and so they will serve anybody, and they become undifferentiated as a result.
It almost, and folks, you'd never do this, but you almost, Michael, would like to be able to be where when certain people walked in your building, you know, people who were never going to spend money with you, ever. You know, you don't know how they got there. They must be lost because they're not going to spend money with you. You almost want to be able to say, "What are you doing here?"
Well, I think the thing is though that as long as that's one of the traps with internet marketing as well, because it seems to be free. We actually spend a lot of money or time marketing to people
right.
who could never buy from you.
Right.
And I think that's a huge challenge because actually, you know, you waste so much time on people that. You know, you couldn't buy from me. And in fact, with my newsletter, one of my assistants used to get very upset when people used to opt out. And I always used to say to her, no, it's a good thing that people are opting
right.
out because they're telling us they don't want to do business with us. And we
right.
shouldn't be spending time with those people. We shouldn't be
Absolutely.
Invading their privacy or anything else. We should only be focusing on people who are interested in doing business
with
us.
Well, the other thing on the internet, Michael, is they shoot for the world and they never think about, well, okay, there are people out there, you know, yeah, I have got the world at my fingertips by, you know, by being on the internet, but what they don't realize is they still need to segment their prospects. They still need to focus on, and it is possible to focus on segments in cyberspace.
Oh, absolutely. But the problem is, though, that the biggest trap there is the fact that it's you think it's free, and so you don't focus. And it's if you're spending a lot of money on advertising or direct mail that you have to focus because you simply can't afford to market to the market, as I mentioned before.
Right.
But all of these principles still apply, and a lot of people seem to think that the internet is different, and it's not. There are some differences, but people are people, and human nature is still human nature.
It's not new rules, folks, just
no,
new tools.
Absolutely not.
That's
and
all the internet is. Michael,
mistakes.
We need your website one more time.
It's results. Dash exchange, results-exchange.com.
Michael, you're not going to tell me monkey meat tastes like chicken, are you?
I've never tasted it.
Good. I'm glad to know that. Hey, Michael, thank you for being here. Good job. See you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Michael Hepworth, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, right after these messages. Rick Pinion will be with me when I come back. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.